Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just after 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, I probably should share a little information. The reason Dan Ball has a flannel on today is very specific. And what is that, Dan? Do you want me to tell him or you want to tell him?
It is Odyssey Boston's Flannel Fest 2025 out in the parking lot right now, as a matter of fact. So people are actually having fun just outside this building.
Oh, yeah. I can literally see the cooler where there are adult beverages right out the window if I look to the right here at the studio. In fact, Wiggy may or may not have one in his hand right now out there.
Really?
Did you see Wiggy at the game last night? I was wondering if he was getting nice seats, of course.
Of course. Well, they had Wick Grosbeck in the other day.
Wick, I was like, where's Wick? He's not in his – oh, they moved him to the side there. He's not sitting in those middle seats anymore. That'd be the new owner.
Yes.
But he was still there just on the side there. And then you see Wiggy, of course, on the second row. And I just wondered if he – did you see the guy sitting in front of him? It was hard to miss. He was wearing a Louis Vuitton bucket hat.
Oh, I did see that.
I saw this too.
Yeah, and I said to Robin, I was like, look at that guy wearing a Louis. Don't say anything. It might be something. I'm like, yeah, he might be, but I don't know. Like, you're gonna wear a Louis Vuitton bucket hat?
He looked ridiculous.
Like, come on, bro.
Like,
really?
I probably can't afford the hat. I have no idea how much.
No,
it
probably costs thousands of dollars.
Right.
That hat.
Yeah, just wear a $5,000 bill on your head, Andy.
Yeah, but you'd have to pay me to wear that hat. Yeah. Like Louis Vuitton, I'd have to be like, would you be willing to wear this?
That dude thought he was styling and profiling with that Louis Vuitton bucket hat in front of Wiggy. I was like, I wonder if Wiggy can see over that hat.
Rich-ass Celtics fan Gilligan was at the game last night. Yes, Dan Ball.
I don't know if this matches your Host One budget, but retailing right now between $510 and $810 for a Louis Vuitton.
So I can afford it. I just wouldn't possibly ever.
Yeah, it's just a gigantic waste of money.
Come on, man.
That's a hat that if Stiz cleaned out his apartment and put it on the table in the kitchen, like his DVDs, I'd pick it up. And I'd put it back down, and I'd walk away. I wouldn't take it.
It's weird. It'd be like wearing a Louis Vuitton raincoat inside. Like, there's no practicality to wearing a bucket hat at an NBA game. No practicality at all.
Except what happened.
I noticed him.
We're talking about it. Yep. You noticed your eye is drawn to it.
But I'm not going, oh, that guy is so cool wearing that bucket hat.
Well, you know, any publicity is good publicity. Attention. Fitzy said, for all we know, he's like an influencer, and now he's getting all these pictures out there. He's in the gossip columns or whatever.
Could be.
Maybe he got exactly what he wanted. Well, it's 505.05. Nailed it. It's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So the Celtics did indeed have opening night in front of Louis Vuitton buckethead guy at the Garden. And it was a strange game in so many ways. Lineups and Joel Embiid is...
Substitution pattern?
Substitution for the Celtics. Joel Embiid is a carcass. I think he's toast from what I saw last night.
Ooh.
But luckily, the guy they took in the first round, VJ Edgecombe, had literally, and I know we overuse that word, the best debut since Wilt. He literally was better than LeBron, than Allen Iverson, anyone you want. He had 34 points. Maxi had 40. And the Celtics lose 117-116. They blow a fourth quarter lead. I believe it's 13 points that they blew. And Jaylen Brown got a rebound. They had the ball with 9 seconds left. They had a timeout that their coach didn't want them to call, but Jaylen Brown called. And I think I know why, because the coach or whoever draws up the plays doesn't draw up good plays because the inbound
play. That's one
theory. That's my theory.
There's two theories.
What's the second theory?
The analytics would tell you that you have a better chance of scoring by not getting their defense to set.
Yeah.
But I think it's the one you just said.
I think coach wants that.
I think he's terrified of drawing. And did you see the play he came up with from the out of bounds after they called the timeout?
Not great.
That he didn't want to call?
Yep.
It wasn't good, was it?
No, it was not. It ended up, and I know this because I saw, you're going to get taken down by the NBA, I saw screen captures from Ted Johnson making the rounds where he had, like, frame by frame exactly what Peyton Pritchard did. He got the ball, he drove into the key, and then as Dan Ball put it, he hopped around like you're playing a video game and don't know which button lets you shoot. He pump fake, and then ended up getting blocked partially and then also partially by the bottom of the rim. The ball goes out of bounds. Then they have to inbound it again with one and change left. It goes to Pritchard again, almost like the Sixers were okay with Pritchard having the ball with the game on the line. He misses again, and they lose. So let's hear from the leader of the Celtics, 25 points, 15 assist-worthy plays, Jaylen Brown. We're going to hear from his leadership before we have the character assassination from Scal. So let's hear Jaylen Brown.
It's going to be a learning experience from day one. We got a bunch of new guys. We're playing a new style. I thought we played hard today. I thought we played a winnable game. We just, you know, some crucial errors that cost us. We'll learn from this. We'll learn how to close. We'll learn how to, you know, spots where we could be better. And that's what it's about. I'm not looking for my guys to hang our head whatsoever. We just get ready for the next one. On the road for the first time, it's going to be a good test for our group.
What do you think of that, Ted Johnson? Those comments from your leader.
You know what? That's just typical. You know, just doesn't want to really be honest with himself. And that's okay.
Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, let's say it is not what we talked about in the pre-production.
New leader, same old problem. Still can't execute. Just terrible, terrible clutch time basketball from the Celtics. I mean, just the coach. Unbelievable. Some of the coaching mistakes that you just show up time and time again. It doesn't matter that Jason Tatum is on the bench and that JB is your leader because, I mean, it looks the same when it comes to crunch time. And this is a team that's got to win on the margins. This isn't a team that's going to be blowing teams away. So you got to be smarter than what they've been. And so the talent isn't going to carry you and overcome the deficiencies you have in your scheme or in your coaching anymore. And this is why I think there's a little bit of a tightness to Joe Mazzulla this preseason going into the season. Is I think his coaching philosophy and style is going to be on the spotlight more than it's ever been. And in that game, there were so many different examples of bad coaching. I'm sorry, Tyrese Maxey has 5 fouls with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And you don't challenge him. You don't attack him. He gets 3 three-pointers after that. And when he's with 5 fouls, that's a joke. You know how many times that happened last year when their best player had 5 fouls and Joe Mazzulla doesn't attack him, doesn't go after him? It was an amazing, to me, the inbounds play with Jaylen Brown, whatever that inbounds play was horrible. It's just, why didn't JB demand the ball? You're the best player. Demand the ball. Fight to get open. And he didn't do that. That was kind of disappointing. Just poor execution, a recurring theme. Why didn't you have a better game plan for that rookie? It's almost like they didn't even know who VJ Edgecombe was. I mean, Scal knew exactly who it was. That kid, you guys, is that team went from being front court dominant to a back court dominant team right now. And it's you talk about the dead weight that team's carrying with Joel Embiid, Paul George. Hell, Eric Gordon's on that team. Heck, who else? Kyle Lowry is on that team.
Yeah.
You talk about the dead weight, those guys, that team is going to be a young, fun team because of those two guys. VJ Edgecombe, oh my gosh, that kid, watch out. He is a stud.
Fitzy, are we overthinking this? Is it as simple as, because we've done this for years. Just look at the three-point percentage and you can usually tell whether the Celtics won. Last night they went 11 of 43, 25%. Are we like digging too deep in the weeds other than to say, well, if they shot a little better from three, which they probably will because your guy, Derek White, and others will be a little bit better. They win the game.
Yeah, they shot 27% from three last night. Unacceptable in Missoula ball or the modern NBA. Sure, it could be that simple as well. Or in process of shooting 27% from three, maybe you can come up with better inbounds plays. Maybe you can put a hat on a hat vis-a-vis, get somebody on Maxi. Ted, he went 7 of 9 from 3, got those three threes after he had the five fouls on him last night. 40 points overall, loosely defended at best. No game plan for Edgecombe, like you said. It's almost like they came into the game expecting the 2020 NBA All-Star team of Embiid, Paul George, I know George wasn't there, Lowry, etc., to be the factor in the front court. But yeah, like you said, they're a backcourt team. And here's my biggest bone that I have to pick with Missoula. You say this is a game that they're going to have to win in the margins. Andy, you said earlier, like, this could be the difference between being a seven seed or being a play-in team. You need Jaylen Brown is inarguably their best player. Some nights somebody else will play better. I know, Andy, that's going to be difficult for you. You'll have to put away the wetsuit and the chocolate frosting for another night. However, on nights like last night, when there's no definitive best player, but you have the lead the whole way through, the guy that needs to come through in the clutch the most is Joe Mazzulla. He's got to find a way to make sure they do everything they can to protect that lead and pull across the finish line first. He failed his team last night miserably, and because of that, they have a one-point loss, and that's why you got that very contrite, humble version of Joe in the postgame.
So I agree. I think Joe Mazzulla had a bad game. I think if you were making your top three opposite of stars, bums from the game or reasons you lost, I think Joe Mazzulla is at the top of the list. Did Jaylen Brown have a good game? Ted, good. I'll start with you.
I don't think so. I think it would look. I mean, you know, the stat sheet he filled up, but when it comes to the most important, you know, moments of the game, he was nowhere to be found.
Get the audio ready. Get his scale ready.
If you watch him on that second to last possession, he's screening for Peyton Pritchard. Like, come on, bro. But that second to last one, the inbounds play, he doesn't fight to get open, and it just drove me nuts. And Scal had to say this after the game about exactly what I'm talking about.
I always use one play in particular because it's a play that everybody and their mom have seen. It is when Michael Jordan shot that shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had three guys on him. He went one way, went another way, went another way, went another way to get a catch. Then he two dribbled, elevated, shot on Elo. The shot is good, right? We've seen that. But what we have to understand is how hard he worked to get a catch. Right? When you watch, our best player, Jaylen Brown, has to work that hard to get a catch. Simple. You're that good of a player. You are elite at what you do. If you think that a team is going to allow you to get a catch, it just doesn't work like that. You have to work hard to first get the ball, then let your talent shine.
You ever watch Kobe Bryant? You ever watch Steph Curry? You watch Jordan, the play that everyone knows, that play against Cleveland he's talking about. They work so hard just to get open, just to make the catch, to shoot the ball. And I didn't see that. Jaylen is like, he made one move, they had it covered, and then he just stops, and he gives up on the play.
So doesn't that kind of take Mazzulla off the hook? Isn't there a little bit more? And I don't necessarily agree with your argument, but if your argument is the argument,
What do you disagree about it? Like, what do you disagree? What is it about?
I don't think Jaylen Brown has the quickness of those guys. First,
My gosh! It's about effort and attitude and compete level.
So you think he has bad effort
in that play? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going to start questioning his effort. I think he's shown more effort
that was
for this team.
That was not good effort
in the last 5 years than anybody has. I think he's been the most effort-based
player. That might be true, but in that play, when the team needed him the most,
so what does that tell you?
What do you mean, what does that tell me?
So if a guy that you acknowledge that may have more effort than anybody in the last 5 years for the Celtics, is there a reason?
I'm just saying, look, I'm not questioning his overall effort, but on that play, I am questioning it.
So that, yeah. But that's my point. I'm not going to question it because to me that says either the hamstring is bothering him, it wasn't really designed for him, as all the players said it was. Like, there's got to be a reason. He didn't decide my first night as the alpha number one with the game on the line. You know what I'm not going to do? Give as much effort as I have the last 5 years.
Why would the guy who covers the team, a former player, say those words? That's pretty critical what he had to say. You think he's just making that up?
Oh, I have no answer to that because I've never heard Scal be that critical on that station. And I don't. The change to me is alarming. It feels like character assassination. It feels like like because the prince isn't around anymore, we're going to go after the next guy. Yes, Dan Ball.
Is it possible, and Ted, I'm curious your thoughts on this as well, that we haven't seen Jaylen Brown as much in crunch time when it comes to effort just because the ball is usually in Jason Tatum's hands in those situations?
Hey, man, you know what? Keep coming. I don't know. You got to keep coming up with excuses.
I mean, these are all possible. He's going to learn. Maybe he's talking about himself in that. You know, we're learning, we're this, we're that. He's used to standing around with the game on the line. Why? Because we're just going to give it to Tatum. He's going to dribble, dribble, drive, dribble, dribble, shoot.
So now he's an occasional three when it matters, Andy. And I can remember a game in the postseason a couple of years ago where JB hit a pretty pivotal three-pointer from
me
the
too. One of the more ridiculous you'll ever see. So I do find it weird that Scal is attacking him like that.
You're talking about his hamstring. Gasper, after the game, one of the questions, one of the 12 questions that was asked Joe Mazzulla, I listened to all the questions, was about did he look like he had his full explosiveness to something?
Yes.
And Joe was like, yeah, no, he was fine. Yeah. So it wasn't hamstring.
But he was also, you know, stretching on the bench area. He clearly, I don't know if it was bothering him, he was paying attention to it. Now, whether that's preventative and he wants to make sure it doesn't reach the, I don't know. But that was on his mind. That could be an excuse, may not be an excuse. And I actually want to go back and watch it again. I want to see the effort or lack thereof that drew the unprecedented ire. Not from you. I figured you'd be hatcheting him all up after this game. It's Scal that has me really wondering why game one of what's already going to be a weird season for them and for Brown and for the team and the whole thing. Really, you're right. I've never heard Scal on like a post-game show really dive into a criticism like that. But it is part of it. I think they're going to regret this loss. Now, my other question, you mentioned it earlier, Ted. What was your reaction early in the game when they like emptied the bench in the first quarter? It was like, I think it was 10 guys in 10 minutes.
10 guys, and there's still 3 minutes left in the first quarter.
Like, what are they doing?
They subbed, I think they subbed Tillman in for Kata with just 3 minutes had gone off on the clock.
Like,
look, but and that's kind of what they told down. Joe. It made it sound like, you know, we're going to be doing the same thing we always do. Okay, Joe, it's you are.
Okay,
you're,
Joe.
Your actions would say, I mean, the substitution patterns were unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yes,
like, he's
same.
Never. So it's an up-tempo. It's they want to keep guys fresh. And so it's going to be a lot more mixing and matching and bringing guys in. And the substitution patterns that we so had become accustomed to knowing kind of exactly what he was doing, I'm not going to have any idea with for the first month.
So the first thing I thought of, Fitzy, and this is a snarky response to it. Remember when they were like, yeah, we can't get Jason Tatum in an Olympic game. We got all these guys on the roster. I'm like, wait, Joe Mazzulla can get like Josh Minot and whoever the hell else was in there in the first 10 minutes, but you couldn't in a whole game.
Preseason hero Josh Minot.
Yeah, like I just... It feels weird. The whole thing felt weird. Yes, Denball.
Well, there's a slight difference there. I mean, with Olympic players, the rotation clearly had a point. Like, Derek White played because he's a defensive dynamo, moves the ball well, whatever. Each guy had a role.
Right.
What I saw at the beginning of the game yesterday was similar to how in our season preview, there were a bunch of guys where we went, yeah, I don't really know how they're going to fit in.
Sure.
I think the coaching staff had that exact same revelation in real time. I think there's a bunch of guys, depth players on this roster, that they have next to no idea how they fit into the puzzle right
So now. You're telling me, much the way we used to hear that September is an extension of the preseason in the NFL, mid-October is an extension of the preseason in the NBA now?
I bet you Brad Stevens wouldn't quite put it that way, but that's kind of what he would probably say. Yeah, that's my feeling. He basically said in the pregame, yeah, the lineups are going to be interesting. They're going to be, you know, we're not going to know which the lineups is going to be from night to night. So, yeah, I think that's kind of... You know, and that buys them, it lets them off the hook. Let's be honest. It does.
Yes, it absolutely does.
Because you don't have enough time to be, you know, casual about, you know, your lineups because every game's going to matter at the end when is not as good as you've been the last few years, right?
Yeah, but they've been off the hook since late May. Like, this entire season is off the hook. This just gives them, this gives them more off the hook to say that they're experimenting. They have to figure out their rotations and their abilities. But if you're going to play 10 guys in 10 minutes, why do three guys like Walsh or most especially Shireman and Hugo Gonzalez, why do they not get a sniff, a whiff, or even a freaking minute on the court? That makes no sense to me.
Shireman didn't get much play in the preseason either. In the times he did, he didn't perform well. Right. So it's like he's in, you know, Joe's, you know, he's, look, he's, he's
effing around and figuring it out.
He's trying to motivate guys. I think he's trying to bring out the best. He's subbing guys in and out. He's teaching guys lessons in the preseason. Okay, they didn't get that rebound. You know what? Get out. I'm putting someone else in. You better go back in there and rebound. So he's kind of got this hardo approach. I hope it works, man. I hope it works.
He's 0-1, Dan Ball.
I got a question for Ted Johnson while we have a moment. Ted, what did you make? So you said you listened to the whole press conference at the end. 12 questions.
12 questions.
What did you think of the questions that were asked and the responses, kind of the vibe of the what was going on after the game?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Dan. I'm glad you asked. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is like some of the questions
just
I would.
A question that popped into my mind.
Some of the questions I would want to ask Joe Mazzulla if I was sitting there in front of him at the press conference. Hey, Joe, why didn't you guys attack Tyrese Maxey? He had 5 fouls with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Why didn't you guys go after him? Nope, that question was, why didn't you call a timeout after that rebound? Why did you want to keep playing and not call a timeout? Nope, that question. Why didn't Peyton Pritchard pass that ball? You talk about 2-on-1. So how about a 3-on-1? Were you okay with the decision Peyton Pritchard made there? Were you okay with how JB didn't demand the ball? Why didn't you have a better game plan for rookie phenom VJ Edgecombe? That kind of stuff. And I counted all the questions. There were 12 questions in that press conference, okay, that Joe Mazzulla. Not one person asked about the 3-point, about JB, about Tyrese Maxey. None of the questions, the pertinent questions, the real questions that should have been asked were asked. And I wonder why that was. Why was that, I wonder?
Why do you believe?
What do you think? What do you think?
They're afraid of him because they got their asses kicked in the media game.
They got humiliated, and they were taught a lesson. And so they were all sitting there going, oh, my God, I don't want him to beat me up again and do full-court press on me. None of them asked real questions that were the honest questions that needed to be asked. And I think Joe won the psychological battle because of that damn pickup game. He got exactly what he wanted out of that game.
So what you're saying is we need to get Ted Johnson credentialed to go cover a Celtics game.
Not my job,
game,
brother.
To then sit front row job. And ask questions. And once he's credentialed for a Celtics game.
Not my job.
He's then eligible to play in the media game next year. And we'll see if Ted Johnson gets bullied by Joe Mazzulla and his assistants.
That is kind of tempting, though. I do have a little bit of.
You're in the media.
A little bloodlust for that. You want to press me? Okay, let's see.
I'd pay to see that.
All right.
Me too.
I literally would pay to see that.
Man. Bo, I got a forehead. It's still hard. All right. Let's see.
And Mark Schlereth can attribute.
But it was just interesting. No, none of those guys asked the questions they should have asked.
So does that make you think that there was a long play at hand that Mazzulla decided to do that media game? Like, we're probably going to suck this year. I don't know if I really feel like facing all these questions.
It was to teach them a lesson for all the questions they were asking and to put them in their place so that they're scared to ask them tough questions down the road, I think. And it worked.
Dan Ball and I have been, in whatever is the opposite of Missoula's corner ever since that game, and especially all this week.
So we have a late candidate for text of the day, and I no longer say best or worst. I just say text of the day, and it is the 774. Tillman Sr. sucks. How old is Tillman Jr.? Already calling for the junior version of Tillman. It wasn't a great night. The Celtics will bounce back on Friday. On Jaylen Brown Day in the city of Boston, they'll be in New York. I may have to wear my JB jersey. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to get back to this update on the NBA scandal, which now includes at least tangentially LeBron James. His name has been dragged into this along with, on a much higher level, Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier. The NBA has a gambling issue. The FBI is sniffing around, and Ted Johnson has some very interesting thoughts on why that is. That's up next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons. That was Mr. Smooth, Shyam Charania on ESPN, updating us on the NBA scandal. I forgot there's two names for it. You know how they always do? The FBI has like those names for what the investigation is. One of them was Open Net or Swish Net or something like that. But we have some additional information here. Deeper into the scandal, and I'm going to read off of New York Post.
Operation Nothing But Bet.
Oh, nothing but bet. Yep, I knew it had something to do with the net. Yep. Yes. Somewhere the Andy Hart was very proud of himself. He'll like, can I take the rest of the operation off? I came up with the name. You guys go nothing do the actual work.
Work is done here.
Yep, my work is done here. So the headline on the New York Post, we joked about this earlier, and I had not yet seen this. Oh, it's not like LeBron's involved. LeBron James dragged into NBA gambling scandal after friend sold injury details. That's according to the feds. So the friend in question we will get to because Ted Johnson has a little tie here. It's Damon Jones, former teammate of his, former coach on the Lakers, is being accused or allegedly sold information on whether LeBron would play. And they have a text message, and I'm trying to find, quote, get a big bet on Milwaukee tonight before the information is out, exclamation point. He texted according to the indictment. So LeBron James is kind of tied in here. So this is not, I mean, it's different, but not too, like, are we just going to pretend LeBron James had nothing to do with this the same way we pretended Shohei Ohtani had nothing to do with his interpreter gambling? Is that what we do here? Everybody, as Chris Carter said, everybody's got to have a fall guy. Mm-hmm. It's either a coach, a lesser player, an interpreter, somebody. Mm. Ted, you are sort of aware of the relationship and the person in question.
So Damon Jones, who's kind of at the center of this whole thing, is I worked with him in Houston. He's from Galveston. And after he was drafted by, I think, in 1997, played for the Cavaliers in LeBron's first stint, they became good friends. Like, yep. And Damon was a funny dude, man. You know, he just has just...
I bet.
He's got stories for days. He's just, you know, and a guy that you... were drawn to because of his magnetism. Little did I know that he had this little side thing going, but I enjoyed working with him at Houston. We did TV together and radio down there, and he'd talk about LeBron. And it was interesting because LeBron's second stint with Cleveland, he actually hired Damon to come be on the staff with the and be a coach with the Cavaliers in his second stint. And it's like, oh, man. And then you hear this story about Damon Jones, and you go, and he was giving information about his, you know, injuries and to bettors on you know, if he heard something on about a guy on another team or players on the team that he coached, he was giving that information. His best friend was LeBron James. I don't know if they're best friends today, but LeBron took him to the Lakers. He's basically brought Damon Jones with him everywhere he's gone. You can't tell me there's something like LeBron James doesn't know about any of this.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
I mean, there's something. There's got to be. And this is it's a fascinating story because when you really look at it, you go, so the FBI is making this whole huge big deal about former NBA players hustling multimillionaires and billionaires who were illegally gambling, underground gambling, that were schemed out of a ton of money. You're making this much of a deal out of it? What am I missing? Like, why do you care about these millionaires losing millions to, and they got to play with athletes, they got to play with who knows who. They probably just loved losing their money to these guys. But I just think it's weird that they would put all this time, money, and energy into this story. There's something doesn't feel right about it that they would. I mean, you talk about the grandstanding. I mean, they're making a big deal out of this.
So you want the theory that was texted in by our producer, Stiz Grimy, who's off for a wedding the next couple days. You want the theory he texted in?
Sure. I mean, if anyone has a feel for it, it's probably Stiz.
And he's from Chelsea. Maybe. He thinks it's political. Well, he thinks this could go down the Trump road, that somebody ticked off Trump administration and that there's some way that this is tied into politics.
Right.
It's a witch hunt.
Well, but this, they say this investigation has been going for a
years.
Long time.
Thank you for bringing credibility and balance to the show.
He also blames multiple things per show on politics. It just doesn't get caught on the microphone.
He also has
and
a feud.
Karen Reed.
He's got a feud with Big Taco that he's going to bring to the air at some point that he's fighting.
Mm-hmm. So multimillionaires and billionaires who are playing cards illegally got scammed out of a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You want to put a lot of money and resources into that, I don't know, that crime?
And I also wonder, like, the Damon Jones incident, for example, like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's, if we were in different circles, or if you were in sort of your old circles as a player and, you know, around, I feel like it could almost happen accidentally. Like, if I had more wealthy friends, I could stumble upon something and be like, hey, you might want to bet on the Bucks tonight. And not really think that, well, you know, you're committing a crime there.
Insider trading. No, that's a federal crime.
But
it's
don't you think it could happen if you're in that world? Like, if we were and we could be out of practice and see, oh, Jalen just, oh, my God, Jalen just got carted off. Jalen's not playing tonight. Text a buddy. And not really thinking that, oh, no, the FBI is not going to be happy with that text you just sent if they ever sniff it out. So it's, I don't know. It's a whole weird world. This is the Pandora's box that pro sports always wanted to avoid, right? Yeah. Nope, that's the third rail. Don't gamble if you're Pete Rose, if you're the Black Sox. We cannot go down that road. And then they said, what's this box that says Pandora's on it? And they opened it up and they took billions of dollars and got in bed with it.
Now, it's interesting. It is a lot of fascinating tentacles to the story. Like, what did anybody think about the NFL when you heard this story?
Like, no, but like, do tell.
Well, I'm curious. Like they are going, this is making the NBA look really bad, really, really bad. Right. And you go, would they didn't tip off the NBA. The FBI just came out with this without tipping off the NBA. They had no idea what this was coming. Would they do the same thing to the NFL? Like, why the NBA? And I'm wondering, like, does this really threaten? I'm trying to figure, is this going to bring down sports? Like, all of a sudden you're not going to stop watching because of a few bad apples out there?
They're just going to make an example of a couple guys. And it's like you talk about everything else, the Brian Daboll thing or the sideline thing where he hit the play. Like, we'll just move on because we like the sport and we want to be entertained by the sport. But what it does allow for us to do is throw our conspiracies out there when we talk officials or weird plays or something.
That's true.
It's all tied together. Like I said to Fitzy, they've allowed now college athletes, Division I college athletes are allowed to gamble now. That is not a good idea. That's a terrible idea. I have kids. I'm not saying anything they do or don't do, but that's a terrible idea from what I've seen.
If you're betting big amounts of money on these games, you're an idiot. Like if, I don't know, like it's got to be on the up and up. Okay. Yeah, it probably is more times than not. There might be an off chance that it's not. And you're willing to bet hundreds of thousands of dollars in everything you've ever worked for on a game that might be not on the level, then you're an idiot for betting it.
And that's the part I don't really get with, like, a Terry Rozier. Even a player of his level makes millions and millions of dollars. And you're going to risk it so you can go back to your buddy's house and count a couple hundred grand.
What kind of debt
has
he been in, though?
Well, that's where it goes. But that's the whole reason it was always the third rail. And, like, we can't have any connection. You can't be – it's, like, partially pregnant. You know, you're either in with gambling or out with gambling. And they are fully pregnant with their gambling alliances right now. And I don't know how you get out of it. I don't know how you change it. You kind of
need out, man. That toothpaste ain't going back in.
It's like I don't know. You're like inviting all these guys to like the best brothel ever. They can't touch. Don't look. Uh-uh.
Right.
They've gotten in bed with all these gambling sites, but you can't gamble. Right. Okay. But the signage is everywhere.
But not geolocated near the facility, and if you see anything, you can't use that information in any way. If somebody there's all these, I don't know how you police it. You can't police it. That's the reality. You can every once in a while, I guess, make an example of a few people for some tip. That's the other thing. Like, how did this get to the FBI? Like, who sold out who? And then my last.
There's a lot of guys singing.
And I didn't know the mob was such a big thing. Like,
I didn't know the Gambinos were around anymore.
Right. Apparently, they found new ways, new revenue streams. Wow.
X-ray, Ted, they have, like, special science glasses that can see through the cards, X-ray tables. Like, this is 22nd century movie-based stuff. Dude, it's cinema.
You go down to some underground, I don't know, room in New York City somewhere, and there's dark lights, and you're going to trust that they're not scamming you?
Right.
Like, I don't get it. Like, I just, it's, of course they are. You're not in a casino where there's regulation. Like, you're in an underground place where there's nobody's monitoring what you're doing.
But Chauncey Billups is on the other side of the table, and he played in the NBA, and he's a coach, and he's really cool, and I want to spend time with him.
Yes, Dan Ball?
I know we thought this was some super crazy cover-up, and it's incredible that they uncovered it, but it might have been hiding in plain sight. This was Chauncey Billups. Was it last night? I think it was last night that he said this in his postgame. Yep. Go ahead.
That pressure thing is nothing to me, man. I do the best I can and let the chips fall where they may. You know that about me by now.
Hey, yeah. That, no, he doesn't. You don't let the
phrasing,
chips. You control chips, the chips at all costs.
That's my Colorado phrasing. Buffalo brother right there.
Yeah, what is going on with the Buffs? I'm not real sure. I'm real happy with what's going on with the Buffs.
Oh, man.
Good
it's,
Lord.
Not our finest hour.
I'm guessing nope. This isn't the last of details and different things we've heard.
Oh,
as you
this
said,
is just
tentacles
beginning.
And going in other. But it doesn't get much bigger than LeBron, and LeBron is at least partially tied to the story.
No doubt
now,
he is.
So. We'll keep up with it, I'm sure, in the coming days and weeks. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for our Odds and Ends segment. I'm sure we will talk to our buddy Christian Arcand. I wonder if he's outside at the Flannel Fest. We also have some interesting audio. We thought maybe that Mike McDaniel was trying to get fired. Is his quarterback also trying to get fired? Are they both? How does that even happen? We'll explain it. We'll play some audio next here on Odds and Ends, WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is Tua Tagovailoa.
Rough year for Tua.
He signed a $212 million contract with the Miami Dolphins to be their quarterback. You think before he signed that, he might have wanted to let them know he can't see over
why
the
would he
lineman.
Do that? Then he doesn't get the money.
Yeah, you're right. He's smart, crazy
sure,
like a fox.
Me? You know what? I got my money. I'm going to just tell I can't really see over the line, guys.
Coach, can we get shorter linemen?
Oh.
I know you draft all these 6'4 guys. Can we draft maybe some, like, 5'10" type guys.
Do you guys remember how Drew Brees threw a football?
Yes.
Yep.
At the angle?
His head would tilt up like to see over the lineman.
Because he's like my size.
I know.
And the guys in front of him are
literally.
Like you.
It's amazing.
Bryce Young's the same size, though.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah, no. He's not the only short quarterback. He's just the only one dumb enough to say, I can't see my receivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go on to the next progression.
If you're going
to
say that, say it after you get all the money.
So now if I'm Jaylen Waddle and I actually want the ball, I'm going to say, well, I'm not running any routes over the middle because I know over the middle you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. Make the tight ends and running backs do that. I want to make money out here where you can actually see. Time now for Odds and Ends. Here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. We did want to remind you, though, that the leadership that Tua is getting down there in Miami could also play a role into just the circus that is unfolding with the dismal Dolphins. Let's listen to a little Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, he's going to take the snaps this week, and he's going to be our starter this week, and my expectation is that we don't throw 10 picks.
That's Mike
McDaniel.
Oh, McDaniel. My goodness. He's talking about Tua saying, our expectation is he doesn't throw 10 picks. Well, Coach, it depends on whether he can see over the line or not.
Dude, it's sometimes when he talks, like, did you just take a big ripper, like, in the next room and then come into your press conference?
I think he's trying to get fired.
To win games, you have to win the game.
There you go, bro.
That's a good point. Oh, I see why they hired you. I also see why they are now going to fire you. I think he legit is, what is that, a famous Seinfeld, I think, with George Fitzy, where he's trying to get fired. Mike
McDaniel. This is exactly, he is full-blown Costanza-ing right now in front of our face. I love it. I think it's probably his best material since he first started as coach of the Dolphins.
He's like, wakes up every Monday morning, like, they haven't called me. What's up, man?
No, wait, I have to go, wait, I have to, I go to work again? This morning?
Dang. No, I'll do it another week, I guess.
Thought, can I put a half a second serious spin on this?
Yeah.
With you, Ted.
Yeah.
In particular. We're laughing about this. Tua saying dumb things at the podium. He's had a lot of concussions. Is there a concern that he is cognitively not where he used to be and is maybe control of his comments as much as he once was?
I don't want to say that. Okay. I don't, because I don't want to make that leap.
Because he's had some bad concussions. We've seen it. Like, mm-hmm. we've seen firsthand what he's mm-hmm. gone through.
There's much more serious side effects and things that come from concussions other than just talking like that.
So he's just a dumbass right now. That was a dumb thing to say.
I would say so, yes.
Okay. Yep. I just wanted to clarify and give him if we were being insensitive to him.
Because that takes away what the guys that are having serious issues. Right. It just kind of discredits them, in my opinion.
All right. Christian Arcand is here, fresh off the buffet from what I saw.
Oh, yeah.
How about our buff, Chauncey Billups, huh, bro?
How about that? People in Colorado said there were feds out at the family. That's what I was hearing.
Kidding.
So, yeah, I haven't confirmed that, but that's what I'm hearing from my spies out in Denver. This story, I think, is like a tinderbox, really. Like, I think there's no doubt that whatever you thought might happen with Shohei Ohtani has the potential to happen here. And the fact that sort of stopped in its tracks the way it did, and they had that interpreter to sort of pin it all on, you got way more details here. You got the feds involved. You got the mafia involved. Like, you've got all of these different things. This today was shocking. Like, I woke up, I was shocked. I couldn't believe what I was reading. And the more that comes out about it, and the stuff you were just saying about Damon Jones and LeBron, I knew that they were like boys. I didn't know that it was like that.
Like best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't know anything chance. About it.
I
don't know.
This is just the beginning.
Definitely fits. I mean, like, this could go so many different directions. Like, you know, there's no real way to predict it. But I don't think this is going to be one of those things that they can kind of brush aside, or that, you know, David Stern can send Michael Jordan to go play with the Birmingham Barons or something like that. Like, I think this is here to stay. Like, this is going to be, we're going to remember this day, I feel like. You know, this is going to be one of those kind of days.
Wow, remember this day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has that potential, man.
It definitely does.
It's like the first string of a thread, right?
And you know who it makes stronger? The NFL. If they're the second best
league. Until their scandal comes out.
Well, Ted seems to wonder if they would go after the NFL like this, or if maybe they're on a different level of power. So, Christian Arcand, you got the Christian Arcand Show leading up into Thursday Night Football, right?
Yes, 90 minutes, mostly going to be on this thing. The Celtics a little bit. I got some Patriots thoughts as well, but it's a quick show tonight with TNF.
Just make sure you get Jaylen Brown's 15 expected assists in.
God, I heard that. What the hell? Jeez. Unbelievable.
We'll be back tomorrow.
But you expect him to make that layup at the end. That'd be nice.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's move along. You have your own show. Don't ruin ours. Okay, 2-6 tomorrow will be here. I believe Josh McDaniels is on tap, 2:15, the Patriots offensive coordinator.
Buddy.
We'll talk to Mike Giardi. We'll break down Patriots-Browns, their toughest defensive test of the season. All that and more, 2-6 tomorrow. Stick around for the Christian Arcand Show leading into Thursday Night Football. Have a good night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.